Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Monday after Freakers Bowl, after the Speedway race, after all of it.
Born February 15th in Mount Vernon, New York, he launched his stand-up career in 1993, quickly making a name for himself with his dead-on impressions of Adam Sandler, Sam Kinison, Christopher Walken, Gene Simmons and more. He's appeared on such shows as Sex and the City, Law and Order, and The King of Queens. You can keep up with him through his website, getgas.com. And this Thursday, Friday and Saturday, you can see him live on stage at Clint's Comedy Stop in Overland Park. Please welcome comedian and longtime friend of the show, Craig Gass.
Look at you, man. I was just looking at your upcoming shows. You leave here this week and go to Melbourne, Victoria, Sydney, South Wales, and then to Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlantic City, New Jersey. That is the most eclectic jump around, like maniac stuff I've ever seen.
Concerts, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to concerts.
Oh, that's... You know what? I knew that already, and I don't know why I didn't put it together. That's what he does. Like, everything's supposed to coincide with a show.
Yeah, because... I won't go to a city.
Yeah.
This week is the exception.
Yeah, I know.
This week is the exception. I won't go to a city unless there's a concert or one of my teams is playing. I book all my shows around baseball, football, and concerts.
Genius. It's genius.
I go to the Super Bowl every year.
I watched you walk out on the field, but we've got to tell that story too.
Dude, there's so much. I cannot believe it's been over. It's 10 years.
Listen, I was here the whole time.
It's annoying to me because you guys will call to check in with me and ask me to call in to check to check in. And I came in last night. I saw a bunch of places. I was like, oh my God, why haven't I been here? Oh my God, why haven't I been here? And then on the drive up here, I passed the crappy hotel that Craig used to put me up at, and I went, oh, because of Craig. It was Craig.
You literally waited for him to die.
That's
terrible.
That's why. It was because of the guy who booked me here.
Craig's dead. I'm back. Oh, I'll go back now.
I can see all the good in the city.
I cannot believe all the stuff that we have to catch up on, man.
Let's talk Super Bowl right out of the gate, just because it's such a football world. Was it 2 years ago? I watched you walk out on the field. Tom Brady's out there, and I'm like, why is Gas on the field, right? And
no sense.
But the security. I'm just talking about what it takes. You're talking about the moment that the confetti was still falling.
Yeah,
and I'm like, because that's basic. That's like getting near the president, or maybe even harder.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
How do you end up down there?
I don't know. It's like there's so many people in the NFL who are supporters of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, hey, man, if you ever need anything, and I'll go, yeah, let's.
I always need something, yeah, because I mean, want to go to all these things.
Yeah, there's people who will say to me, like, you know, next time I come, like, I'm going to be in Vegas in a couple of days, and a friend of mine is now the tour manager for Marilyn Manson, and he said, well, if you ever want to come to a show, Marilyn Manson's performing on Halloween, and I said, yeah, don't.
Oh, of course.
Don't tell me. You know, I'm going. Yeah. I want to go.
I think that's a smart way to live your life. So whenever, if it's a Metallica show.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Guns N' Roses show, whatever. Because, you know.
I'm going to see Guns N' Roses next weekend.
Excellent. Where at?
The Caesars Palace. They're doing two nights. Small room. It holds, like, for them, it holds, like, 3,000 people.
Did you know who ended up, out of the clear blue, reaching out to me a few times and being, like, a really wonderful person as Duff?
Yeah.
Like, I was in New York with a friend, and we were literally sitting at Duff's in Brooklyn, the metal bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there, and I see a number come up. It's a Seattle number. I don't recognize it. I don't answer it. I wait for this, and then a text comes through. Yo, Johnny, it's Duff. Are you going to be at the show tomorrow? Are you sorted? And I'm like, now I'm freaked out about, like, I have to get a flight home because I didn't want to tell him I wasn't going to go to the show because the vacations didn't coincide.
Yeah.
And so I book a flight home, come back. He's incredibly nice. Then I'm sitting at my house. Bob calls and goes, Duff's manager just called. Expect a call in about 5 minutes. Boom, my phone rings. Duff's coming through Kansas City on the way to St. Louis.
Ugh.
And all those guys travel in different buses.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, I'm sorry it's so late. He goes, but you want to go to dinner tonight?
Ugh.
And so we go to Gates and eat barbecue and talk history. And just, he is He's such an incredibly nice human being and smart, and he's my favorite guy to sit and talk with, you know. And we've never had a conversation about anything to do with Guns N' Roses.
And the biggest collection of dumb jokes I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. He knows hundreds and hundreds of dumb jokes. Sometimes I'll walk into it not realizing he's telling me a joke. I'll go, "What? Really?" and there'll be a punchline. I'll be like, "Oh, dude,
that's great."
Yeah.
Well, then we go backwards. Let me. The reason I told that story, you guys listening, is I want to go backwards to what, your 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how did you end up in Hollywood when you're 18? Because I did as well, but I mean, I was almost a runaway.
I was 17 when I went to the NAMM show in L.A. I met Steven. That was in Anaheim, and then I met Steven Adler. And Steven said, "Hey, do you guys have a car? And we ended up giving him a ride home. I'm trying to make this as short as possible. So I ended up starting a friendship with Steven Adler.
Right.
And then every time Guns N' Roses would perform in Arizona, I would check in with him. He'd tell me where they were staying, and I would get a hotel room in the same hotel as Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And then we would end up partying together. So February of 1988, for my 18th birthday, they were performing, I believe, February 14th and 16th. My birthday is the 15th. And I got a hotel room, and I turned 18.
I didn't think it was an apartment. For some reason, I thought it was an apartment you were in. But yeah,
okay. Yeah, well, it was at the Hyatt in downtown Phoenix. And
why? Because there was a table with almost like a kitchenette.
Yes.
In the hotel room. That's why.
Yeah, it was a Hyatt hotel room, and I had my 18th birthday party with the guys. And
yeah, and I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, hold on. Is that Axl? I was like, what kind of an 18-year-old birthday party is it? That's first record. That's Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, it's before they get big. It's before they release Sweet Child of Mine. If you go through my Instagram, which is at Craig Gass Comedy with two S's, I have so many pictures. I never say what the picture is. I put a funny caption on it. What's funny is seeing the responses from people going, "Who's the Axl Rose looking guy in the picture?" And it's like, or "Who's the Nikki Six looking dude over there on the right?" or whatever. And it's all pictures. Yeah. It's weird. It's really weird. What's really crazy is doing impressions of these guys, which leads to friendships.
Yeah.
Then leads to anger and hostility.
Sure.
And then leads to rekindling the friendship. And then, like with Kiss, I haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah, no, I know the Gene Simmons thing, man.
I started out by doing an impression of Gene Simmons that bothered him so much that he got on a plane and flew to New York to confront me live on the air.
Stern, right?
On the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And
because he was working on Stern at the time.
Yeah, I would do celebrity voices on the Stern show. Anytime we had like an actress who was, really vapid, I would chime in as Al Pacino and go, "Boy, you are really stupid." Or if we had an actor who claimed to be sober, but I had just done coke with them the weekend before,
right,
I would chime in as Sam Kinison and go, "Man, this is an amazing story. And I love the fact that you're clean and sober. Even more amazing is the fact that I was doing coke with you last Saturday night." "That's not true." Yeah. And then I started doing this impression of Gene Simmons, which bothered Gene so much that he got on a plane and flew to New York to confront me live on the air, which was led to this insane appearance. Right. And then I found out that behind Gene was his singer, Paul Stanley, who I found out later loves when anyone makes fun of Gene.
Yes.
So
yes, definitely.
On the one hand, Gene hates me. On the other hand, Paul Stanley is like, "Come do shows with us." And I'm doing shows with Kiss. And then now, you don't know this, the Kiss Army is mad at me.
Why is the Legion of Doom, the basement dwelling neckbeards, why are they mad at you?
I ended up on an event called the Kiss Cruise.
Sure.
With 3,000 Kiss fans from all over the world.
Yeah, super, super nerd fans, but they love Kiss more.
Love Kiss. Yeah. And I meet a girl on the cruise who is the cruise director. She's super upbeat, really peppy. She's the Julie McCoy of the Kiss Cruise. She meets me and she goes, "Oh my God, you're the comedian. You're the guy that's the Family Guy and the... Do you want to do a funny announcement on the ship tomorrow morning?" And I went, "Oh, God, yes, please." Is everyone going to hear it? And she goes, "It gets piped into every cabin." The next morning, 3,000 Kiss fans from around the world wake up to, bing, bong.
"Hey, everybody, this is Paul Stanley."
"And this is Gene Simmons."
from Kiss, and we have a very important announcement. Do not panic, but we have a very important announcement about the Kiss Cruise. It seems that the Kiss Cruise has just hit an iceberg.
Now, keep in mind, when I said we've hit an iceberg, we're in the middle of the freaking Bahamas. There's no reason for you as an intelligent person to go, this ship's going down! This ship's going down! We're in the Bahamas.
But do not panic, because Kiss is going to take care of everybody. We actually have three packages to get you off the ship. First, we have the Platinum Package. It's $5,000. We put you in a life raft, and you have your own private photo taken with Kiss. Then we have the Diamond Package. Isn't that right, Paul?
That's right, the Diamond Package.
For $10,000, we throw you in the ocean with Tommy and Eric, and then Kiss floats by on a raft, and we do a private acoustic show.
Everything I said was stupid. But apparently two or three of the passengers on the ship actually ran to the employees and said, is Kiss going to charge us to get off the boat? They really, they could conceive the idea that we had hit an iceberg and that Kiss was going to stand at the entrance to stop everyone from getting off. And the crazy thing is how many people over the years that work for Kiss that have come out of the woodwork to say, I've got a story for you about Gene. Maybe you can use it. And the stories are horrifying.
Oh, I've told you a story about my girl and Gene.
Oh, wait a minute.
When we were in the front row of the concert, he sends a tour manager out to ask if...
Yes.
Yes.
And that works for him.
Oh, apparently it does.
What was the result
here? Oh, well, so it's so fantastic. I mean, we had just met each other. So we weren't in any way... we weren't letting anybody know. You know what I mean? Because just new, and you think... I'm thinking, man, she doesn't know anything about what I do for a living, really. Yeah. And like, I don't want to expose her to anything weird. So we just decided at that point, we saw how it was going to go. I take her to a Kiss show, never seen Kiss. Put on the front row, never been on the front row. We're right in front of Gene Simmons. I go up to get a couple drinks, come back down. There's a tour manager on the other side of the barricade. And I'm like, I really do know. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I'll tell you in a minute. I'm like, the guy looks at me weird and he leaves. So I go, what? She goes, well, when you left, he said, is that your boyfriend? And she goes, and so I told him no. And he said, well, Gene would like you to accompany him back to his hotel room tonight.
Oh.
So I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, this is the greatest day of my life. And I'm busting her. I'm like, you gotta go? And she's like, no, I'm not gonna go, right? But she's so freaked that nothing like this ever happened. Or she didn't even know stuff like that happened. But Jean now has been told I'm not her boyfriend and she's beautiful. And then he spends the entire show like air humping. He's beating his chest. He's bringing Paul over. He's mouthing Phil. He's like, his tongue is out. I mean, and I'm like, nobody's ever going to understand us, but I'm getting great pictures on my cell phone because he's spending all his time there. I don't know. Pitch Magazine comes out the next week, this local rag. Yeah. And so they had sent a guy, and all of a sudden in the middle, I have to find it online, there's a paragraph where he's like, and suddenly the Dark Lord noticed the extreme youth and beauty of the date of local radio guy Johnny Dare, and he spent the entire night like pounding his chest, mouthing naughty words until Johnny and Johnny spirited her away during the encore. A wise move. Because I was like, nobody's ever going to believe what happened tonight. Like, there's no way I'll ever. Turns out there was a writer standing in the second row right behind me. Saw the whole thing go down. So I framed it and gave it to her on our first anniversary. It was like, that's for you. That's the greatest thing.
I have probably my two favorite stories that have ever been kind of whispered to me by somebody on the side was there was one guy who was recording an album with another band and said, hey, the guy who owns the recording studio is a huge fan of yours. Can I put him on the phone? And I said, sure. And this guy gets on the phone and he goes, dude, I love all your impressions, especially your Gene Simmons. Because Gene was the first guy to ever screw me over in this business. And he said, Gene came in to produce an album for a band. And at the last minute, Gene tried to switch into my largest facility for the same amount of money. And when he showed up, he said, did you get my message? I want to use Studio A. And I said, I did. I actually called you back. I don't know if you got my message, but someone is using that studio. I asked them if they would switch, and they said no. And he went, do they know that Gene Simmons from Kiss is here? He goes, you know what? If you want to ask him, you can ask them, but I'm not going to ask them again. He goes, all right, where's Studio A? And they go, it's the last stall. Go down the hallway, last door on the right. Gene Simmons goes all the way down the hall, opens up the door to Studio A, looks inside, and sees the Wu-Tang Clan recording an album. And then slowly closes the door, comes back up to the front, and goes, right, where's Studio B? He never even opened up his mouth. to the Wu-Tang Clan. And my second favorite story, which is to your point, is a guy who works for KISS said, you know, about 15 years ago, I was on tour with KISS and Gene hooked up with Miss America. I know I told you this story years ago. He hooked up with Miss America, the reigning Miss America of that year. He hooked up with her. The next day, Gene hooked up with a whore.
Oh, yeah, no, indiscriminate.
Yeah, just a girl that was such a mess that even the guys in the road crew were going, Jesus Christ, did you see that? The next day, they have a day off in a town that's so small that the band and the crew are staying in the same hotel. And this guy is telling me from his point of view, he said, I just happened to be sitting in the bar of the hotel, and I just happened to be turning around as Gene is walking through the lobby, and he's dragging this enormous girl with him into the through the lobby. He gets in the elevator, pushes the button to his floor, and then looks at me through the hallway because he's got a perfect shot of the bar that I'm sitting at. And as the elevator doors close, he goes, oh, yeah, bing, and the doors close.
Yeah, I think he's pretty unapologetic about it, too. He's like, that's my thing. I don't drink. I don't do drugs.
Yep.
He likes cake and vagina, and it doesn't matter what shape it comes in.
Like, well, the next day, my buddy goes up to him and goes, Gene, did you hook up with that girl last night? And Gene goes, of course. And he goes, didn't you hook up with Miss America tonight? And he goes, Steve, listen to me, okay? I'm going to give you some valuable advice. You can't have filet mignon every night. Sometimes you got to go to McDonald's. That's the worst advice. Like, do you tell that to your son? Do you like, you know?
So good.
His son, by the way, comes to the Comedy Store all the time and is a huge comedy fan. And he's like his dad. He's always got hot girls with him.
He seems like a nice enough kid.
Really nice kid. And he'll do this thing where he'll see me and he'll go, oh my God. And he'll tell the girl, this is Craig. Craig does an impression of my dad. Craig, do Christopher Walken. Just do some Christopher Walken. And I'll look at the girl. The girl's like 18.
Right. She's like.
And I'll go, wait a minute. Hold on. Do you know who Christopher Walken is? And she'll go, no. And then Nick will go, no. You'll know. Just watch. Just Craig, do the voice. And so I'm looking at this cute 18-year-old girl. And I go, hey, listen, I don't know if you know who this guy is. But he talks weird. And every once in a while, he says the word cowbell. Pow! And the girl goes, good for you. And I went, Nick, you son of a bitch. Nick, you son of a bitch. Don't do that to me.
That's so
good. I'm already insecure.
Right.
Like,
right.
I get auditions from Family Guy and American Dad or Disney now.
Yeah.
And I'll call my friends and I'll go, hey, does this sound right? And I want to, and my friends are brutally honest. And then, I'll find myself, even though I want you to like help me,
sure.
I'll find myself getting defensive. My friends will be like, that doesn't sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'll go, dude, it's not Arnold. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a bad car accident. So that way I can get away with, yeah, it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a bad car accident. Like,
sure. Like
I can't do a Mark Wahlberg impression, but I can do something that I call out of breath Mark Wahlberg, which already lowers your expectations.
There it is.
Guys, are you serious? Hey, come on, man. You got to help me out. There's a car accident in front of the radio station. Arnold Schwarzenegger's out there. Yay! Come on, you gotta help me lift some bodies. Come on, feel it. Feel the vibration. Yay!
Here's how you know it's so good. I find myself looking away from him so I can get the full experience in my head when you do the impersonation. I do it on purpose. I just realized what I was doing because in my head then I get to see it all. You know what I mean? As opposed to if you're just listening, I'm like, God, that's perfect.
Same thing when I was on the Howard Stern show, I would create these abstract characters and Howard would look away so that he could continue the conversation. Because I would get an impression and then I'd go, okay, that sounds just like that person, but what's funny about it? And I would do these abstract characters like Al Pacino had twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, how funny would it be if we could have one of the babies on the show and do a regular interview and go, hey, so you're Al Pacino's baby. What do you like to do for fun?
What do I like to do for fun?
I like to pee. You like to pee? I love to pee. My mother, Beverly D'Angelo, whenever she changes my diapers, I give her a quick squirt right in the face. Hoo-ah! And she likes it because she's a whore.
Yeah, it was the whole idea was insane. And he would always have to look away.
Yeah.
Or anybody I would chime in as, like Sam Kinison or whatever, he'd always look away. But
No, it makes sense, man, because that's how you can have the conversation.
Yeah, I'm blown away. Like this new club.
So this is a brand new one. This is that you're going to be at. I got to go check it out. Clint's Comedy Stop. It's where the old, actually, here it is, From the Grave. Glazier opened up the last Stanford's was here
at this place. Well, apparently Clint Black took it over. So
yeah, there you go.
Clint's Comedy Club is mm-hmm. or Clint's Comedy Stop is where it's at. Yep. So they have the website, Clint's Comedy Stop. You can go to getgas.com, getgas with two S's.com. And it's such a small room. We're going to sell these shows out, not because I'm famous, but because the room holds 20 people.
No, it's going to be a great show. No, this will be fun.
Yeah.
And that's not, by the way, he's in town early just to hang in Kansas City. The shows aren't until Thursday. Was it Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be a fun show. So you're going to hang out all week, though, right?
I have so many things to catch up with. Like, I cannot wait to tell you the band that we love that has no right going on tour, that's planning on touring next year.
Okay, hold on. Let me take a break. We'll come back, you guys. Stay with us. Craig Gass is in the studio with us. He's at the at Clint's Comedy Stop this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 119th and Metcalf. You can go to clintscomedystop.com, and you can make sure that's the website. Do I still have it up here? Yeah, it's at clintscomedystop.com. You can get tickets. You can get the whole calendar of events, the whole bit. Stay right
there. Go to kissonline.com and pay $2,000.
Monday, after a long weekend, a race, speedway race, hailstorm, Godsmack, monster truck show.
Kiss Saturday. Farewell tour.
That's right. The farewell tour.
The farewell to all farewells is still going on. Great song you just played. What was the name of it?
That was Cumbersome by 7 Mary 3.
Great song. I liked it a lot better the first time I heard it when it was called Unholy. Prick. Stop stealing from Kiss. Everybody does it.
Side note, Gene, I couldn't help but notice when you did Domino,
right?
The song Domino,
right?
It sounded like a song I'd heard before by a band called Black and Blue,
right?
I don't know if you knew that.
Well, here's the thing: everybody steals from Kiss, and if you really wanna, as the kids say, go there, I could bring up something that you probably don't want to bring up.
What's that?
The reason why you're successful.
Why is that?
You stole from Kiss. Let me ask you a question. We're going to do, this is radio lingo that we're about to go into.
Yes, sir.
What are the call letters to your radio station?
KQRC.
KQRC. Four letters.
Correct.
What else has four letters and is successful? Kiss. You stole from Kiss, you prick.
I don't think that sounds the same. I don't think we're talking about the same thing here.
A regular visitor to your show was Craig Glazer.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Loved drugs.
He did love drugs.
Who loved drugs first? Ace Frehley.
But a lot of people loved drugs.
Ace Frehley was the first drug addict in the world.
I don't think he was.
Anyone who's ever been a drug addict stole from Kiss. You can look it up. Everything that's ever happened was stolen from Kiss.
That's amazing. I never saw
rock and roll.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
Is that right?
Country music.
How's that?
All stolen from Kiss. Tell me the biggest country artist in the world.
What, today or of all time?
Of all time.
Oh, Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Yep. Sure. Stolen from Kiss. My original name is Chaim Cash. It's Jewish for I like money.
Yeah, he was the original Cash. That's right.
I was the original Cash. Yes. Everybody steals from Kiss. There's not much you can do about it. Johnny, while I'm here, can I plug something?
Of course you can.
Right now, if you go to kissonline.com, there's only 70 days until Kissmas, okay? Let's say you have a sister, you have a mother. Do they like Kiss? How'd you like to watch them get pounded by Kiss? Go to kissonline.com and have a real boyfriend experience with a member of Kiss. And for a limited time, Ace Frehley is just $20.
What about Paul? Does I mean, Gene, Paul can't be okay with all this.
You know, when Gene and I are talking about all these crazy ideas, I just leave it up to him because it comes down to the live show. And if it's a good night for you, you'll end up with a star in your crotch.
That doesn't even make any sense. Here's what I'm trying to say is that Kiss influenced everybody.
I see that. But
Paul, even Craig's impressions.
I always worry about Paul. Paul, why is it that when you say things, sometimes it comes out, like I know you mean it a certain way, but it comes out a little gay, you know, when you come into town.
Did I ever tell you about the story about the I see Kiss with Aerosmith in Las Vegas?
Yes.
And on stage, Paul Stanley does a speech. He does the best speeches.
Yeah, yeah.
And on stage, different vibe, by the way.
Right, yeah.
Off stage, he talks like this.
Yeah.
And on stage in Las Vegas, he goes, "All right, people, now listen. You know, I know that this town, Las Vegas, is known for its buffets. And I can tell you right now, I see a lot of people in the front row that I really want to eat." And then he started fixing his hair. And I see the same show again at Madison Square Garden like 2 months later. And I mentioned to all the road crew guys, I go, "Did you listen when he was on stage in Vegas and said he was going to eat the front row? Did you hear that?" Three different guys went, "Did you hear about Omaha?" And I went, "No, you didn't hear about Omaha?" Three different guys told me that on stage in Omaha, Paul Stanley went, "All right, people, now listen. You know, I know that this town, Omaha, Nebraska, is known for its Angus beef. And I can tell you right now, after this show, I'm going to want to sink my teeth into some meat." And the whole arena went, "What?" And Paul came back to the mic and went, "Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a thigh or a rump roast." And the whole arena went, "What?" And apparently the guitar techs behind the stage were going, "What the hell is he doing up there?" Dude, off the air, you were telling me a quick thing about Adam Sandler. I've been doing stuff with, it's really random, but I've been doing a lot of work with Shaquille O'Neal. He's got a podcast in Atlanta.
Yep.
And the first time I met him, I said, I go, "Man, I've been so excited to come down here because I know that I know we're going to be friends. I just got this feeling that we're gonna have a lot of fun." And last night I was in Hollywood and Adam Sandler was on stage at the Comedy Store last night and he did a joke about you and I went, "Oh man, I'm working with that guy tomorrow." And Shaquille O'Neal went, "What's the joke?" And I went,
Oh no.
It's not my joke. And he goes, "What's the joke?" And I went,
And he's such a huge guy. Hey, you want to be friends? And then there's the intimidation factor too.
Yeah. And so I had to think about it and I went, "Well, according to Adam, I didn't know that Adam gave you a role in the movie Grown Ups 2. I didn't know that. I guess I didn't see Grown Ups 2, but Adam Sandler gave Shaquille O'Neal a role on the movie. And apparently during filming, Shaquille O'Neal, they were filming at a college campus and they said, "It's going to be a couple hours. We'll come back in a couple hours. Everybody go back to your trailers." And Shaquille O'Neal announced, "I'm going to go take a shower," because there's some dorms that they had access to.
Right.
And Adam Sandler goes, "And that's when I said, this is my chance. I'm finally going to get to see Shaquille O'Neal's penis. I'm going to get," and it's not gay. It's not gay. "I just want to be able to tell my kids, hey, your dad saw something amazing once. Like, I just want to be able to tell him, you know." And so he describes his whole story about sneaking into the dorm and he hears the shower running and he tries to get a peek and he looks. And then all of a sudden, Shaquille O'Neal's bodyguard pops up and Shaquille O'Neal's bodyguard is even bigger than Shaquille. He's a big bald guy and he's staring at him. He goes, man, I'm sorry. And then he runs out to the set and then he has to contemplate how he's going to relate this back to Shaquille O'Neal because Shaq's like, how am I going to explain myself? Shaq comes back to the set and he goes, "Hey, buddy, I feel terrible. I saw that, you know, I tried to just get a look and I know that your bodyguard told you." And Shaquille O'Neal said, "I don't have a bodyguard." I go, yeah, the big bald guy. He goes, "No, that was my penis." It's a great joke. It's a great joke.
Sure.
It's a phenomenal joke. But yeah, Adam Sandler I think he has the best sports joke I've ever heard. And you have to be a sports fan.
I know. You know I'm a little challenged.
I know. That's why I'm pausing. Because I'm like, oh, man, you don't care about basketball. But it's the best I think it's the best.
Look, the world likes it.
I used to write for Weekend Update, and then somebody at SNL said, hey, Adam Sandler's performing. And I was like, oh, my God. And I found out about this, like, small nightclub gig he was doing. And in the middle of his set, he goes, I'd like to do a couple of impressions now. This is Wilt Chamberlain was first guy to ever score 100 points all by himself in an NBA game. And I'd like to do my impression of one of Wilt's teammates during halftime when he scored 100 points. Here we go. Hey, Wilt, I'm open. Why don't you pass the ball, bro? You got 64 points. Tom's got two, and it's only because you bounced the ball off his freaking head into the basket. Come on, dude. My parents are here. You're embarrassing me. And he goes, all right, that was good. Now I'd like to do my impression of the coach of the opposing team during halftime. This is the coach of the opposing team during halftime when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. Here we go. Who's covering Wilt? It's the dumbest joke of all time. By the way, these are not the jokes at Clint's Comedy Stop this weekend, all right? No. Just so you know.
No, he's there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. But we're talking about just bands we love and everything. And the fact that Vince Neil at the last tour sounds so much like Adam Sandler. Do you have that clip?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, if it hasn't gotten back to him yet.
Because we're listening to this broadcast that was coming in on iHeart.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the one. But listen to him. Tell me he doesn't sound just like Adam Sandler.
Oh, wait, here it is.
That bums me out. Like, I'm a huge Tesla fan, and somebody pointed out, dude, Jeff Keith sounds like Eric Cartman from South Park, and he played me one snippet of one song.
Because I love Jeff Keith.
I love Jeff Keith too, and I love Tesla. And once that guy pointed it out to me, it ruined. It was like, oh man.
Was that the only Adam Sandler one?
Yeah, that was the only one that sounded
like Adam
Sandler.
Yeah.
Dude, I have the Gene Simmons stories runs across, like, if you bring that up with any band,
that's so good.
Bands have stories about their own run-ins. Gene loves to give out advice.
Oh.
And there's a guy from Pearl Jam, the drummer of Pearl Jam, has a really funny story about when he was in high school. He had in Seattle, he had a Kiss cover band when he was 16, and they called themselves Kiss. They dressed up like Kiss, and once a month they would perform at somebody's house, and they'd pass out flyers at school,
right?
Like, this Friday, Johnny's house, Kiss,
right?
At 7 p.m. in Johnny's backyard. Here's Johnny's address,
yeah.
And Kiss is performing. And he said, one day I came back from school, and there was a letter from oh God, what was the name of that their record label that Kiss had?
Casablanca
Records. Yeah. And there was a letter from Casablanca Records, and I was like, oh my God. And he's like, he called all the guys in the band. He goes, you gotta come over. We just got signed. We're getting signed. We got a letter from Casablanca Records. And they opened it up together, and it was a cease and desist. They were 16 years old. And he has it framed. They got a cease and desist from
that's
Kiss.
So good, man.
And that's so Kiss.
Yeah.
That is so Kiss. But yeah, dude, that's a, I'm always curious about, in all the years, you get to interview so many people. I'm always curious about people that just hit you the wrong way.
Well, dude, last time Gene was on, Gene has always been great because you know how you had to handle, how you handle Gene.
Sure.
You stroke his ego a little bit. And then let him talk a little bit, ask the right questions. You don't get into the stuff that you know he doesn't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then he wants to sell something. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a give and take that comes along with Gene. He must have had a string of bad interviews. And the last time, Jake will tell you, like, he came on and sold it like an infomercial, Suzanne Summers, where he didn't stop talking. And it was just to the point where you went, hey, man, stop being a dick, Gene.
Yeah, there was no pause for a conversation.
Like, he wouldn't let you say anything.
Really?
And I just finally turned it off. I dumped it. I got, and I told Jake, I go, hey, man. I've been doing this a long time. I go, it's not a big thing. I go, but you tell Gene, like, very clearly, you're not coming. Like, don't ever ask. Don't ever. I don't want to sell anything else for you if you're not going to be respectful of this audience.
Right.
You know, because I'm not, I don't give a goddamn about your $1,000 book thing you want to sell.
Right.
But I'll let you pimp it. But you're going to have to entertain this audience.
Of course.
You owe it to this audience because you're the one we're interviewing.
Yeah.
And I do believe he'll call back one day. I do think because he's a smart guy. And I think sometimes you make a mistake, but he was definitely not okay that day. He was rude.
He's got stories about him. I empathize because I don't know what it's like to be, once you walk outside your door, it's a nonstop meet and greet for him. And sure. It's a nonstop, like when I do comedy shows.
But don't do a reality show then, Gene. You already knew what you were doing. Then you did reality.
True. There's a guy I know who works in merchandising who said that he saw Gene at a party. This is not a flattering story. And he said his girlfriend is telling him, go talk, that's your hero. Because my buddy, he actually has Kiss tattoos on his legs of all their faces.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I want to be respectful. And she goes, but that's your, and she bugs him so much. He's like, all right, fine. I'm going to go up there. And he said he walked up with his girlfriend and he goes, hey, Gene. Hey, my name's Sean. I work in merchandising. I work for, this company. And he said, Gene just went, okay.
Oh.
And he's like, you know what? I'm already here. I might as well tell him everything. Mm-hmm. So he throws it all out there. I dressed up like you every Halloween. I got all the toys. So I went to every, my first show and blah, blah, blah. And he said, Gene the whole time's looking at him, looking at his girlfriend, looking at him, looking at his girlfriend. And then he finally goes, great. Are you done? All right. Now, who's your sister?
I mean, God, that's the guy, awful, man.
Yeah, he can be really, really grumpy. And then the flip side of it is that Paul Stanley is really a fan of anyone who makes fun of Gene. And he always teases him. There's a video out there somewhere. I never want to highlight it because I don't want people to realize that it's out there. But on the first Kiss cruise, I hosted a Q&A with the band, and the band is to my left, Gene's right next to me, and then it's Tommy Thayer, Eric Singer, and on the end is Paul Stanley. To my right, fans are coming up, and then I introduce the fans. I go, what's your name? Johnny, where are you from? From Kansas City. All right, Johnny, this is Kiss. Go ahead and ask your question. And this guy goes, I have a question for Paul. You have a tattoo on your right shoulder of a rose. I just want to know if it means anything. And I put my microphone down, and Gene leans in to quietly say this to me, and he's leaning right into the microphone. And he goes, yeah, it means he's gay. And then Paul Stanley goes, wait a second, hold on. What did you just say?
Oh,
Gene,
no.
What did you just say? Gene, what? And Gene won't look at him. Gene just keeps ribbing me. And he goes, Craig, tell Gene to repeat what he just said. And I went, I'm not getting in the middle of, like, it's an odd spot. And that video is out there somewhere, the Q&A from the first Kiss cruise.
But,
yeah.
You know, and I'll say this, though, about Gene. One of the first times we ever had him on, I did, it was not a cool thing to do, but I didn't have time. Just as he started the interview with us, it was all live, I get handed a note. This kid who had cancer and was really having a hard time, was a huge Kiss fan. And, I know for sure you shouldn't do this. I do it anyway. I go, Gene, I just want to pass this note on to you. And I go, the kid's on the phone. He'd like to say hello to you. And so, you should always give a guy a heads up before you throw that on him, right? Mm-hmm. And I was young, but Gene handled it beautifully. And not only handled it beautifully on the air, that kid called me back and said within a week, a huge box of Kiss merchandise landed on his front door. No bill, what I mean? But just like, but I was like, ass. I mean, because I knew you don't do that. And go, but he handled it really well. And not just in front of the world, he really did follow up and send this kid a bunch
of stuff. I'm laughing because I went to his house to film his TV show, Gene Simmons' Family's Jewel, which, by the way, there was a lot of weird things that happened. Like when I first walked into his house, it wasn't his idea to bring me to the house. It was his producer's idea.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure.
How funny would it be if we had Craig come and make fun of you? It wasn't even make fun. There was a specific plan. They wanted me to come in and make prank phone calls out of Gene's house.
Right.
That was the plan. So the episode is Gene kind of shows me, you know, where he works out of, and then he plants me at his desk, and I did all his phoners for the day.
That's right.
I called radio stations around the country as Gene Simmons and said horrifying stuff. And but when I first showed up, Gene was suspicious of me, and he confronted me when I walked in, and he said,
"So why are you here? Are you going to make fun of me? What are you doing here?" And I said, "No, I just... I want to hang out with you. I just, I go, you know what? You know, it'd be a perfect day if I just hung out with you and just told you jokes and you tell me your favorite jokes. That would be a perfect day." And he said,
you want me to tell you a joke? And I said,
sure. He tells me a joke. This is the joke he tells me. And by the way, he told me a 5-minute version of this joke. I can break it down to like 3 sentences. Yeah. A guy dies and goes to heaven. He's being given a tour from St. Peter of heaven. They open a door and there's Gene Simmons sitting on a giant throne. And the guy goes, "Oh my God, what's Gene Simmons doing here?" St. Peter says,
"That's not Gene Simmons. That's God. He just thinks he's Gene Simmons." And I went, "Oh my God, I'm getting struck down by lightning. I got to get the hell out of here. I got to get the hell out of here." I was like, "Get me the hell out of this house."
But before I left the house for the day, somebody said, "Gene wants to see you. Go meet him at the what I refer to as the Kiss Museum." I think I told you this story about Sebastian Bach told me about the museum.
No.
That I remember the first time I ever worked with Sebastian Bach, I said, "Has Gene ever been cheap to you?" And he goes, "Dude, that guy invited me to his house, and he has a freaking Kiss Museum in his house," which he does. Oh. He has a museum dedicated to every piece of merchandise he's ever had in Kiss. And he said, "Dude, I walked in, and there was a plastic bag with like 100 Kiss cell phone covers." I go, "Dude, what the hell is that?" And Gene goes,
"That's our new promotion for Kissmas. It's our new Kiss cell phone covers.
Can I have one of those?"
"I wish I could, but if you go to Kiss Online..."
He had 100 pieces of plastic in a bag. He wouldn't give him one piece of plastic.
Sure. Oh, and in no way is that
surprising. Sebastian even went as far as like, "How much are you selling them for?"
"Right now, for a limited time, it's $15.95.
"Okay, here's $20. I want to buy the first one."
Sebastian, put your money away. Go to kissonline.com.
Oh, it was so obnoxious. So I go to the Kiss Museum. They said, "Hey, Gene wants to talk to you." So I walk out, and there's a table with merchandise spread out across the table. And Gene is standing there at the entrance, and he goes,
"Do you like T-shirts? What do you wear? Extra large? Would you like a T-shirt?" And I go, "I would love T-shirt." And he goes, "Do you like boxers? You want comic books?" And I go, I'll take whatever you want to give me. And so he goes, "Let me get a bag." And he had a Kiss shopping bag. Whoosh, and it had a Kiss logo on the side of it.
And he starts filling it with merch. And then I'm looking around and I go, "Oh my God, hey, I have a question. This isn't for me." He had baby clothes, Kiss onesies.
Yeah, I've seen them.
And I said, "My friend Mike is the guitarist of Pearl Jam. He just had a baby. And he is a huge Kiss fan, a huge fan of yours." And then Gene goes,
"Is that Mike McCready?"
And I said, "Yes, he's a dear friend of mine, and he loves you, and he just had a baby."
"You can have 2. Go ahead."
And I was like, "Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll take 2 little onesies. Thank you."
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so great.
Like, man. That moment of generosity.
Yeah.
"You can have Pearl Jam, take 2. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take 2. You can go ahead. Take 2. And I was like, "Oh my God, thank you. Thank you." But yeah.
And Mike got a huge kick out of it. But yeah, it's the stories are endless. But again, I cannot believe that it's taken me this long. And I realized why as I drove up here. It was because, and I loved Craig.
Oh,
I
sure.
really did love Craig.
No. He's whatever weird Hitler charm he had, we all fell for it, man. Like you're like, "Why am I going along with this?" He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah, and I'm, by the way, he just made him sound like half Craig, half Muppet Show. Like,
God, remember this?
Stanford and Sons, it's a family club.
Oh my God, the Manson family.
Nudity, guns, and the drugs. Other than that, it's a family club. Founded by the father, taken over by the son with his brother. Now they hate each other's guts.
Think about it.
Yeah, that's Steve Kramer. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, you know what?
Glickman?
Steve Kramer.
Oh, Steve Kramer, okay.
We started talking about an idea, and I think you and I spoke about Roast the Ghost. And doing a roast at the Midland Theater with all the comedians he's burned for money and putting in horrible hotels and putting a giant photograph of Glazer on the Midland Theater stage and roasting him in memoriam.
I would love to do it as Craig Glazer. I would love to come in and be dressed as Craig, like they do on those historical roasts they do now on Netflix. Yeah. I would love to be Craig Glazer on that roast.
Would that be fun?
Yeah, but I thought about...
He has no tombstone.
Really?
So I thought, what a kind of a nice twist on it to pay for his tombstone. But at the bottom, I wanted to still say, you still owe me $15,000, Johnny. Because he does.
I remember on the way up here every day, he wouldn't get me a car. He wouldn't let me, And I do radio all day, every day. Sure. Like I'll be a different guest. I'm going to a sports station tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl viral moments that I've been having.
Sure.
Going to the World Series with Bill Murray. I wasn't even with him. He just showed up right when the Cubs won. And we had this crazy viral moment that happened. And I'll talk about sports
His brother lives here, by the way.
Is that right? Wait, yeah. Which one?
Brian Doyle?
Brian Doyle, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I adore that guy. Yeah. So I'll be a different guest for different types of shows. And I am having to depend on Craig to drive me to every appearance, and he's coaching me.
Oh, yes.
I started in radio.
Let me tell you how to do this. Listen, you're going to go in there and do jokes. You got to do jokes.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, just get right to the impressions. Get to the impressions. everybody loves impressions. Everybody loves impressions.
But you know why he was driving you? Because he didn't want to not be on the radio.
Yes.
If you drove by yourself, then what was the point of him being there?
Well, that was the other thing that I wasn't prepared for. As Jim Florentine had been telling me about you and your show for years, and I said, I got to get to Kansas City just to do this guy's show. So I want to come, and I got in, I called Craig. Craig booked me, and I was like, all right, I'm coming, and my goal is to meet this guy, Johnny Dare. And Craig brings me in and walks in the studio halfway through my appearance and started like, hey, the great thing, I'm going to help Craig out a little bit here. And I was like, help me out with what are you doing, dude?
Now,
like,
remember, he's already been a part of the Howard Stern team.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's already done it. Like,
yeah. I remember that was him walking in midway. That's
but that's
so
just what he wanted to do. He's like, and my favorite is he'd send me these voicemails. Have you heard all those, haven't you? From his ex-girlfriend?
No.
Oh, my God. She hated him. She hated him so much. Chocolate Becky. No, it wasn't Chocolate Becky. It was
Black Barbie.
He loved black strippers.
Now, for some reason,
he's a terrible racist, but he still loved black strippers. He really was. And, she would tell us a story. We have her in the studio. She'd be like, yeah, he can't have an orgasm unless he starts calling me the N-word.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then she says, and I like it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. God. But the other side of her was it wasn't Black Barbie. It was Chocolate Becky that we call. She'd get so mad. Because he would leave her little checks, like $25 checks. Like, he was the worst sugar daddy of all time. But like,
honey, I know you see me calling. You answer the f***ing phone. Can you please answer the phone? This is my only chance to talk to you. I'm at work and I'm on my break. The car people have been calling me since Saturday. I told you that the payment was due Saturday. They've been calling me all week. They said that they are tired of the payments coming in late, and they are ready to start taking action. So therefore, I don't know if by the time I get off work, if they're going to come pick the car up or what. So you need to answer the phone and talk to me or call them to find out what's going on. Can you please answer the phone? This is my only...
And then she finally gets mad.
Did you want to turn your goddamn phone off, pussy, and act funny over a motherfucking phone that you found that you probably don't even have no more? It's not even in your goddamn custody. That's why you keep playing games about it. But you know what, bitch? You and Jeff, Jack, whoever, can keep the phone and shove it up your tight ass, you cheap bitch. Don't ever call me again, pussy, and kiss your warm statement goodbye, you cheap bitch.
That turns me on. Love when you do that.
Exactly why I always leave and go home and never spend a night with you. But I'll never in your life ask me again, you stupid little dick bitch.
I love it. Love it.
Burn in hell. I hate you. You are selfish ass bastard.
That's hot.
You.
Oh, when she called him little dick bitch. Little Dick Bitch became his name. Like, it just.
I'm
like,
she also said tight ass, but I realized she's talking about financially tight ass. I just thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something we just learned about.
There's
Craig.
Literally 35 of those.
Really?
Oh, so good, man.
Yeah,
so
Craig's bad. Character was definitely larger than life. And yeah. I remember you guys calling me, and we said this off the air, but it needs to be brought up again. When you asked me to call in after the news broke.
Yeah.
I remember saying, and I didn't mean to be funny about this. I just stated this as a matter of fact, which is I'm going through his Facebook, and I've never seen so many tributes to somebody that started with the words, you know what, man, love him or hate him. Like,
yeah, that was
every
it.
Tribute started.
Because you did. You did both. You were like, he was so much fun to watch because he was such an entertaining goon. Like, he was a maniac. Yeah. But then you'd be so mad because I'm like, you just burned me for $15,000, man. And then he was suing me for like $6 or $8 million at the end. And I'm not even mad. Like, it was so absurd that you went, like, I know what you're doing. Your club's failing. You need some money. You're hoping that somebody's going to throw some money to make it go away. But they were so bad. One of them, he goes, and of course, Johnny Dare called me a racist on air. And I'm like, well, I'm talking to lawyers. I go, well, hold on a second here. Do you think he's a racist?
No, not really. Probably so, though. I don't know. He says weird things sometimes when we have sex. You come in.
What?
Yeah. I was like, so we're done with that part of the
Wow.
So then he called me a drug addict. And I'm like, okay, well, let me go to page 252 of the book. So I didn't say it. I just actually quoted him. And it's true. I was strung out on drugs. Like, I'm like, none of these things are going to stick because what I said was all absolutely true. $15,000. He's always said it. And I literally get my safe. The one thing I saved, the promissory note when the bar closed. I knew I was never going to get the money, but I wanted to have this. Pull out the note signed by Craig Glazier, and I owe you $15,000. And I'm like, boop, there's. I go, so you couldn't be mad about it. You know what I mean? It was so silly and absurd.
Did he ever apologize to you?
No, he died.
Really?
We were in the middle of it all. And of course, he didn't talk to me then. And I didn't know he was sick, right? I'd have gone to him. I would never let a guy die.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But he didn't want anybody to know. Between the diabetes and leukemia that kicked in, that he went to the hospital and died. But, you know, he was a vain guy. He was a proud guy. And so I understand that. But it bothers me because I would never have, you know, if somebody said, hey, man, he's really sick, he's going to die, like, I'd have showed up at his hospital room. If nothing, to step on the oxygen cord for a minute or whatever. Pinch his nasal cannula off a little bit and be like, I'm a benevolent man. Let it go.
He'd always want to have, like, guy talk with me.
Oh. ever tried a three-way with you?
What?
He would always have a chick. He'd be like, oh, listen, she wants to bang us. We go
no way.
We do that all. I was like, I'm never doing anything like that with you.
That's, the idea of anybody, another penis being in the room is freaky, let alone Craig's.
Diseased, awful, awful looking thing.
And he would always be like, let me tell you about that girl. You know what I did with her? And I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to picture that. What are you doing, dude? Like,
And they're always junky girls. Like they'd have a very, very awful quality to him.
Yeah, there was wayward kind of personalities that he would that would drift into his life.
Yeah, if you could look below the sadness and the desperation, kind. there was a pretty girl that was somehow lost way underneath there, and you're like, oh.
Did he wear a wig?
Oh, it was definitely a toupee. But he would tell you, he'd get so mad, we talk about it, he's like, it's a system. So he was mad because a toupee you just stick on top and kind of sit there, and this was sewn
this
in. This is sewn into the back, right? Like it's that hair club for men thing.
Yeah,
and
jet black.
And you could always tell when he was down on the money because he'd go past the time to go get the new one, and he'd start looking kind of effed up. And I'm like, Craig, you better check that, like that thing.
Oh my God, do you think he was okay with that bill when he peaced out too? I don't know why that just came to me. His toupee bill. I really wonder.
No way.
Would that be?
No, he still owes Cy Sperling money as well.
Did you ever see him without it?
No. No. He never let you. Never, never, never let you see that. We looked.
Wow.
Oh, my God. But if we'd have gotten a picture of him, like, if we'd had a picture of him without his hair on, he'd have shot one of us. Like, he really would have lost it. You could do anything. Call him a rat. You know, I mean, because, you know, that was another part of the whole lawsuit. Yeah. He used to rob drug dealers. Have you ever read his book, The King of Sting? Which is a good
book,
by the way.
Which is fascinating, by the way. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating.
But that's what he did. Like, he got caught, and so he turned into what he calls a deputy. That's called a paid informant.
Right.
Because he's not a cop. You're not a cop. Yeah. What's your job then was to roll over on drug dealers. I'm like, because, you know, some people call that a rat. Don't you call me a rat. I'm like, you were a rat.
Yeah. It's kind of like when people introduce themselves as a background actor. Hi, I'm a background actor. You're an extra. You're an extra. Yeah, right. You're an extra. You're like, that's a really fancy word for extra. But yeah. A deputy. All right. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I'm a vocal specialist. That's what I do. Yes. I'm a communication specialist.
So we're paying tribute to Craig all weekend at Clint's Comedy Stop. Come down and pay tribute at the Clint's Comedy Stop, which I'm just now learning was Craig's old room that he used to have.
Yeah, well, that's the ghost. The ghost is there, man.
He had mentioned to me, too, a couple years ago, right before he passed, he had texted me and said, I got a new room if you want to come up. And that was the tough thing is I really wanted to come to Kansas City, and I struggled with, but it's got to be, like, and it really would get to me during the week because I didn't have the autonomy to have my own car and just kind of travel and go to your house and just hang out. Like, I needed him for a ride, and that was the one thing we started to change in the deals every time I came out. I was like, man, you got to cover a rental car for me, man. I'm doing way too much work while I'm in town for you to have to drive me everywhere. I don't want to wait for you.
Well, all you knew is that at the end of the week, he was not going to be able to pay you what he owed you.
Right. There was always a conversation.
That was part of the lawsuit.
Didn't do as well as we thought we were going to do.
He's like, yeah, and he tells people that I don't pay my comedians. And I'm like, do you know how many guys I'm going to line up in this trial that you didn't?
Listen, I wish I could pay you, but as you can see, it looks like a full room. I know, but I can only pay you in cheese sticks.
His brother would be like, yeah, go ahead, tank the cheese sticks.
Yeah. And the stories were like from legends. Like he's been doing it for 40 years.
Oh, sure.
Like Louis Anderson had a story about like, that guy scared me. He tried to scare me and intimidate me. You know, like you know.
Bob Saget will tell you. Bob, like huge gash in his hand happened at the club. Like gas. And they dropped him at the hospital and nobody stayed or nobody picked him up. They really? Just like what after his show.
Like a gang fight.
Like he's all cut up. And he just drops him off. Yeah, like you would drop a assault victim off in the circle. And he goes, nobody went in with me. Nobody came back to check on me. I just had to get out of there, took a taxi cab back, and flew home.
By the way, there's a comedian that's performing with me this weekend. I got to get into this later this week because he's one of the greatest minds in comedy that I've ever seen. And he lives in Kansas City now. His name's James Inman. And he's doing.
Of course, I know Inman.
You know Inman?
Jesus Christ. How do you know? I've known Inman for 20-some years, man. Inman, I believe Inman threw up at our studio, didn't he, one time?
That is possible.
I believe it was Inman. Yeah. I believe Inman threw up in my trash can once.
That is an Inman story.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
I believe it was Inman. Yeah.
Yeah. But Inman, I have.
Yeah, of course.
Amazing stories about Inman.
Was he out living in L.A. now, or is he living in Kansas City?
He lives in Kansas City. But I started with him 26 years ago. At an open mic, Inman and I and Brody Stevens and a guy named Josh Wolf and a guy named Joey Diaz.
Of course,
Joey
Wolf
Coco
is a friend,
Diaz.
And I remember Diaz, of course.
We all started at the same open mic.
Yeah.
Looking at a picture of Inman?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, yeah. Inman's
with me.
So punished one morning. I think it was with Craig. And he just I'm like, Jesus Christ, Inman, you got to stop throwing up at the studio
Inman
now.
Is the most brilliant comedian I've ever seen. He's doing the shows with me at Clint's Comedy Stop this weekend. Good. And he's just, what makes him brilliant is he's unfiltered. Yeah. But that lack of filter also makes him difficult to deal with people.
He's also got that Stanhope quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why him and Stanhope are really close.
Sure.
He's in a movie called The Unbookables that Stanhope produced. And it's just like a collection of comedians that are so off the rails that they're known as The Unbookables. And that, while being a brilliant, genius comic, he's also, like I remember one night. This isn't the best story, and this is his least favorite story because I always tell it all the time. But early on, I remember after an open mic, a couple walking up to him at the bar and saying, hey, James, you're brilliant. And he's like, oh, thanks. Appreciate it. And they said, how come you're not on HBO? And he went, you want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm an artist. I'm not going to suck corporate blank to get on TV, and I'm like, and he goes into this like 5-minute Stairway to Heaven speech about how I'm an artist and I'm never gonna suck, you know, up there, and it goes on and on and on, and he goes, yeah, so anyways, so you gonna buy me a beer or what? Like, like it ends with, I'm really broke. I could appreciate if you could buy me a beer. But the stories about him with drugs and unbelievably honest stories make him. And I haven't seen him in 20 years. I haven't worked with him in over 20 years. This is going to be amazing.
Good.
So I'm really excited to have him with me at Clint's Comedy Stop this weekend.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wait, listen, you're going to come back this weekend.
Yes,
I got to get out of here because I just realized we talked until 10 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So look, go to CraigGass.com.
GetGass.
GetGass, sorry.
GetGass with two S's. GetGass.com or Clint'sComedyStop.com. And we're going to do 6 shows to make it work. We're doing 1 on Thursday, 2 on Friday, and 3 on Saturday.
What's your Instagram again?
It's at Craig Gass Comedy with two S's, and you'll see tons of weird pictures on there.
Hey, Greg, you put those links up on the social media?
Absolutely.
All right, then. Thank you. And all right, listen.
We'll see
you. Yes, you just now saw Greg, huh?
Oh, my God. I haven't seen him in years.
See, Greg doesn't believe that, because when I talk about him hiding all the time, I don't think he does anything anymore. And see, he didn't even know you were here.
Greg wrote the single greatest song parody of all time.
Oh, dude, he's got everybody. What was your favorite?
Death. Death, I Hear You Calling. Oh, instead of Beth.
Yeah.
And I told him I wanted to use on the first Kiss cruise. I was going to do a show where I came out of a Kiss casket, and mm-hmm. we couldn't get permission from customs to bring a casket on the Kiss cruise. Oh. I wanted to bring a casket and single greatest song parody of all time. And so fitting.
Death, I hear you calling, but I just can't go right now. Still trying to pay off this casket, so I kinda need to stick around. Just a few more payments, then I can go with you. The Grim Reaper is calling. But death, what can I do? There's still 5 payments due.
One of the most, that is it. That's the most brilliant song parody I've ever heard.
Thank you.
What'd you do today?
Not a lot.
Yeah. Just this is
the ongoing relationship between the two of you.
16 years old when I met him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, record store, skateboard shop, radio, the whole bit. Total life wasted. Just a wasted life.
You or me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Look at you. What are you doing in there? What have you been doing?
It's a long story.
Do you mean? Okay. Let me go ahead and translate this for everyone listening. That means nothing. That means jerked off to internet porn and went to the snack machine 3 times.
What's your favorite category?
Of?
Porn. Internet porn.
Babysitter porn.
All right, there you go.
At least the word sitter was back there. I'm just saying, you got to make sure you keep that word tight. Very tight, dude.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no kidding. For me, homemade porn. Like lately, I've been...
Amateur.
Amateur. But I don't want cam. I don't like cam. You know why? I don't like the ding sound. I cannot masturbate and hear that weird little ding sound. I'm like, oh, she got another dollar. Oh, I got to start over.
Knowing that it's real, amateur.
Yeah, by far. By far, man. It seems way more possible. I didn't know.
You ever get into amateur racist porn?
Sorry. I've seen it. You're like, ooh. Yeah, I can't. That screws me up, too. I also can't do anything to do with English ladies with an accent because my mom's English. So I'm like, if I hear an English accent, that's over. Like, it's done. I hate it when you're like, oh, hot, super hot. Look how hot she is. And so she's like, oh, that's right. Give it to me. Oh, right. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the end of that.
You know what? Sometimes I'll go through Periscope, and if you go anywhere in the world on Periscope where it's 3 or 4 in the morning, you'll find some good stuff.
Really?
Yeah. People at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, wherever on the planet it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning right now, go there on Periscope.
I gotta download that and do that.
You will find people doing stuff. I found some people at 3 o'clock in the morning in Phoenix, Arizona, and they're pretty much doing a home porn while smoking crack.
That's what I was gonna say. The meth, crack, coke, porn. I found, and
really?
I'm like, and it's a lot of times it's sad.
It was really sad. Yeah, you can comment, and I'm really proud of my running commentary. I'm joking while I'm writing funny stuff. And what's crazy is the guy holding the camera at his cracked out girlfriend as they pass this pipe back and forth. He's laughing, and I hear him like he's smoking and going. I don't know why I'm doing Craig. It's the perfect voice. And then the guy finally stops and goes, hey, man, you're pretty funny, man. And then he goes, oh my God, Craig Gass, we're huge fans of yours. And I go, oh, and I stopped it. I stopped it. I was like, that was my target audience. Meth heads, people smoking meth.
I had no idea. Yeah, I didn't even know smoking meth was called blowing clouds.
Yeah.
I was like,
I didn't know that.
I only learned it from pornography.
Really? Blowing clouds?
I was like, who's clouds, right? And then you start looking and you're like, oh, so that's the whole thing. They smoke meth and they're getting railed and you're like, I feel like this is bad. This is a bad thing. I feel like I'm contributing to something bad right now. And so as soon as I had an orgasm, I turned it right off. All right, listen.
Isn't it amazing how after you finish, you start to feel bad for the people?
Oh, like, sure. No, Lord. That's when the shame sets in.
Guys, stop leaving her alone. My God, someone needs to go to Van Nuys and save this girl. Right. These guys won't stop.
Yeah, once my gratification has been reached, then I get a soul again.
Yeah, then
my conscience comes right back. All right, let me take a break. You're going to have to hang out, man. We got to call LeJean and try to get him on. And there's no way he'll answer the phone right now.
I have one of the best Seven Dust stories ever.
Oh, you got to save it because it's I know exactly the one.
You do?
Yeah.
Lars Ulrich?
Yeah. That's because I want to tell that again on the
air.
Let me see.
Should we do it on the air and see if LeJean can verify the story?
Yes, if we get him. Yes, if we don't get him today. Let me see if I can get him to answer the phone right now.
All right, come on, LeJean. I ran into LeJean at Corey Taylor's wedding last week.
I saw the picture, yeah. I think that's right. I saw the pictures on LJ's, too. If I call him from the studio line, he may not pick up. He won't know what it is.
I performed at Corey's wedding. I did a mock wedding as Elvis Presley. And I had a bag of cocaine and a couple prescription pill bottles, fried chicken.
All right.
And a gun.
Very nice. Yeah. All right, listen, we're going to get it on. Right. We're definitely going to dinner with LJ.
Okay. All right.
We'll see if we can get him on the phone. We'll tag team that tomorrow. It'll be fun. All right. Let me take a break. The great Craig Gass back in Kansas City. Don't forget Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Clint's Comedy Stop, 119th and Metcalf in Rosanna Square. But then stay with us all week, man. This is going to happen all week long.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.